shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.
People say I ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. If you don't like the way I'm living, just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
What's up, folks? Thank y'all for tuning into the Josh Terry Podcast. Today I got one of my real good friends who was just kicking ass on American Idol recently and is kicking ass everywhere right now, traveling. And I'm just so damn proud of you. Just melting faces. Everybody asks about you everywhere I go. I almost am sick of hearing your damn name, to be honest with you. It's really annoying to have a friend that is from the same area that you're from that is more successful than you, and everybody...
I was the first loser, Josh.
You're always going to be the first fucking loser to me, Will.
Yes.
Everybody asks about you everywhere I go, even in my hometown. It is fucking annoying.
Well, our hometowns are too close together. Everybody knows who we are.
No one has any idea I have any success at all in my life because of you. And part of me is extremely happy for that. Another part is like, I hate my hometown now because of you.
You shouldn't.
I do. I hated my hometown before you anyway.
Well, I don't have that problem.
You don't, because they adore you.
I know. I love Hazelhurst, man.
You should. I like your hometown better. I like my hometown.
That's something I've noticed, especially like meeting other people.
Yeah.
It's like, honestly, I've been blessed to be from where I'm from, just to get the support that I get. Like, you know, there's so many people who go out on a limb and risk everything for a dream, you know, and when they see a little bit of success, it feels great to them. And then they turn around and they look at their people that's supposed to be in their corner, you know, their hometown, and they're like, oh, yeah, whatever. You know, that's cool, but whatever. But, like, my hometown, like – but it's not just with me. It's with, like, all the sports teams. It's, like, it's with anybody from our hometown. If you see a little bit of success or any kind of growth, dude, they jump all over it. They love it. And it's awesome to see, because it's, like, I mean, it helps us, especially, like, young people from where we're from. It's, like, I'll give it a shot. Like, if I get one win – the home team's supporting, you know, yeah. they're proud. And then if there's 10 losses behind it, then it's like, oh, well, I give it a shot.
Yeah.
But getting the support for that one win, that's what makes it special, man.
Yeah. When I got to go do some stuff with you in Hazelhurst, and you got to see the love that they just poured out to you, it was special. And I have been to a lot of people's hometowns when they've done stuff. It was different. Like, it was special. Like, it was cool as hell. Like, you just, a lot of us don't get that. I think there's a lot of us that when we go back home, either they think that we're just dumbasses and we're just like chasing a dream, or they're, I don't want to say envious, but a lot of people I think are, in the fact that they've got to get up and do a 9-to-5 every day, and secretively they're like, man, I wish I could do that. Not like maybe in a bad way, but like they wish they could have chased their dreams.
It just
life
keeps
didn't give them the opportunity.
Yeah, it just keeps them from supporting you. I know, like, I won't name any names, but I know some bigger artists from small towns, and they will not come back and play a show in their hometown. Yeah. And, like, I asked one of them, I was like, well, why not? And they were like, well, Because for us, it would look bad if we did a show in our hometown and no one showed up. That would look so bad on us that we won't take the risk on it. And I was like, I see where you're coming from. Like, that makes sense. But then again, like, we just played the two shows in Douglas. And, like, we didn't – that's not my hometown, so to speak. But it was like, you know, that's the closest venue to my hometown is the Martin Center in Douglas. And we were like – I remember – like, I had just talked to these people and heard all of this stuff, and they were like, okay, we're going to do two nights at the Martin. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, this ain't good. Like,
you sold out both of them.
And then both of them sold out within, like, the first two or three days. And I was like, nah, there it is. There's that hometown. Yeah. You know, like, there's that support that just is always around people from our area right there. You know, like, we just.
Well, I honestly, like, I love you. And so don't get the bigger head than you already have. I hate giving you compliments, but I don't think it's everybody in our area would get the same acknowledgement that you get. I think that all of us recognize that you are special. Like, from the first time I got to be around you, like, you are different. That's okay. Just silence it. So just doing a podcast. If you got to answer it, you can answer it.
Nah, we ain't going to answer it.
If it's one of, you know, your special friends, you know, it's cooler than us now. You can pick up for them.
Especially, it was my dad. He'll understand.
Especially if you're going to get some new boots or something. You know, anything like that. But, no, because we both know artists in this area. And some of them have had some success. And people don't show up for them. I think people recognize that there is something different about you. And I think that's the only reason they show up for you. I think what a lot of people think with you, regardless of Idol, that they see something and they would have showed up anyway. A bunch of us got to see it early, and I didn't get to see it as early as most. I got to see it a year after you started. I guess that's probably about how long it
Somewhere
was.
Somewhere in there.
A year, year and a half after you started. And even it got back to me, like, you got to see this kid. And you were hearing that shit everywhere. And then I saw it for the first time, and I was like, fuck, yeah. Yeah, they only are showing up. They would show up regardless of Idol. You were given a platform. You made the most out of it. You're going to keep just, like, doing shit. That's why, like, me and you were talking the other day, and the people when you hosted the co-host thing on ABC, the people that came up to you on the red carpet, they see it. It ain't because of Idol. It's because of who you are and the talent behind it. And that's why you sell out shit like that. Like, I don't think everybody gets that acknowledgement is what I'm saying.
Well, like, and I'm not by no means looking for recognition for it or anything like that, but, like, I remember playing in Douglas. Douglas was probably the second, third place I ever played. And, like, I remember playing in Douglas to 7 people, and I remember playing in Douglas to 70 people.
Yeah.
And we just played in Douglas to 700 people.
Yeah.
But, like, the other thing is, like, after these people come – to the show, as soon as the show's over, like, I make it a point, and I make it a point because for me it's appreciation.
Yeah,
it truly is appreciation on my part. But, like, now I've met people who have been doing it for 20 years or whatever, and they'll tell you the same thing. I go out front and I stand there till the line's out. Like, if you get
in that, do too much sometimes.
If you get in that line to see me, it don't matter if it takes longer than the show lasted. I mean, it can take 2 or 3 hours to get through the line, but I'm gonna be there. You know what I mean? And, like, and a lot of people just don't do that.
Yeah.
And, like, it's nothing. There's nothing wrong with that. But, like,
I think you remember being that kid in line.
Absolutely.
And you can see it on your face.
The thing is like, I absolutely, genuinely love to talk to every single one of those people for the simple fact of, it's like, I can't believe that we sold out the Martin Center 2 nights in a row.
Yeah.
So there's 700 people there both nights. And to me, I couldn't believe that they all showed up. So I wanted to show my appreciation. If they want a picture with me, or if they want me to sign something, or if they just want to come up and hug my neck and tell me, hey, we enjoyed the show, I'm going to be there for that. But that was the same thing we were doing when there was 7 people and there were 70 people. We were playing 317 in Douglas right there. The little when I first started playing there, there may have, I mean, there was people in there eating, but as far as to listen to music, 20 people, yeah, maybe, hung around to the end of the night to hear the music. Move up a little bit, you know, maybe get 100 people in the VFW over there that were there to hear the music. And it's like, even then, it was, I was just appreciative that there was that many people in the room that really wanted to hear what we had, what we were singing.
Yeah.
And then now, you know, it's growing, but, you know, and everybody's like, oh, you're humble.
I think it's gratitude.
I think that's the truth.
I think it's gratitude more than anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's true appreciation is the reason why I do it.
Yeah.
If it relates to humbleness, that's awesome. Because the last thing you want to be is arrogant.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, because I see that in other people as well. And when I see that, I'm like, I automatically get turned off to them.
Oh, me too.
I mean, instantly, arrogance just pushes me away. And so I try to never be that. But the reason that I do what I do isn't, oh, I got to do this so people think I'm humble. It's not that. It's my true appreciation for you showing up.
That's what we all recognize about you, though. If you got to tighten that, you can.
I know. I was trying to figure it out.
It's this. If you want it to keep dropping from dropping, it's that. Yeah, just tighten that bastard. But with you, that's the thing. I don't think it's your portraying being humble. It's you actually showing gratitude and appreciation. Like I said, I can see it on your face. Even when Idol came and did the football thing, or the stadium thing. And I remember, I think it was me, Riley, and Walker that were standing there with you when you were about to go on stage. Like, you literally had like 2 minutes before. And there was this kid, God bless him, he might could not have counted to three, and he was a grown-ass man. But he wanted to talk to you, and he just wanted to have a damn conversation with you. And bless your big dumbass heart, you were going to have a conversation with this boy because you appreciated his ass being there. And I had to say to you, Will, if you talk to this one dude right now, this whole side is fixing to come up and talk to you, and you're about to go out there. But you wanted to. Like, and that's just you. You love the fact that you get to do what you do, and you don't want anybody to not feel like that you came there to play for them. I think that's how you want everybody to feel. That one person, that you want them to know that you're singing to them. That's what it's like, I feel like. That you're putting on a show for them. Like, it's almost like you might be playing to 700 people, but you're playing 700 individual shows.
Well, and like, a big thing I noticed is like, for me, and you know, they always say play to your strengths, not your weaknesses. And so for me, I'm not the guy that's going to get up there and dance around a whole lot. And I'm working on trying to force myself into that a little bit.
I've seen your dance moves lately.
They're not great.
They're not bad.
They're not great either.
Hey.
But, like, I'm not the guy you're going to come to see for me to run off up and down the stage. Like, me and Riley had the opportunity, a good friend of mine, Robbie Porterfield from down near Bartow, Florida, near Tampa. He had two extra tickets to the Morgan Wallen show.
Yeah.
At the Buck Stadium. And they were pit tickets, and so he asked if we wanted to go, and we jumped all over. You know, it's something that, I mean, that's cool. You know, you don't get to see it often, and it's one thing right now is it's so financially burdening to go to one of his shows. So they had two extra tickets, and we went, and we were there, and it blew my mind how much, like, he ran.
Yeah.
Out the front of the stage, back to the center stage, to the sides. Like, he's moving the whole time, and I'm like, I'm a big guy. Like, it just ain't, like, I'm not, well, I can't do that. But, like, that's a different type of show.
It's entertainment. Like, yeah, it's entertainment. It to is. Where, and, like, I'm not knocking him because I obviously like Morgan Wallen's music. I like the hell out of Morgan Wallen's music. But you got to understand, there's different types of entertainment. Him running up and down that stage is just as entertaining as you sitting on a bar stool with an acoustic guitar. Like, he could probably do that too, I would imagine, and be entertaining. But you don't have to do that and to captivate an audience.
Well, and, you know, I think it's all about styles because, like, that's like the difference in a Morgan Wallen show where he's moving around and going everywhere. You have the Chris Stapleton show where he walks out with a guitar around his neck. He walks to the center of the stage. He gets behind a microphone, and he sings all night long right there.
Yeah.
And every person in the building, stadiums, any amphitheaters, anywhere he's at, he walks out and he just strums a guitar.
That's it.
From there on, like, everybody's attention is just centered.
All you need.
And, you know, I mean, it's just a different style. And, like, for me, like, I'm going to move around a little bit. And, like, I'm forcing myself to do that some, just get out of my comfort zone just to make the show fun. But at the end of the day, like, my style is not going to be to run around and dance and jump. And there's never going to be choreographed dancers behind me. And
you don't want to make Benji be a choreographed dancer behind you?
Benji would he'd flake in that situation. That's the only thing I think he would – you know, like, me and Benji have a really tight relationship, and I think he would do just about anything I ask him. But if I ask him to get in a choreographed dance, he'd probably shut me down.
That is one of my favorite things about you, too. And I think I get a good buzz around you, and I say this all the time. But I love the fact that you succeeding has made it to where Benji and some other boys that you had with you before, like, you're bringing them along with you. I love that. Because I know a lot of people, when they get to Nashville, they're going to just, who's the best person available in town? Like, they're not going to bring the down-home boys with them. They're not. And I love Benji. I didn't think I was going to like him first time I met him, and I tell him that all the time. I thought we were going to butt heads. He is one of my favoritest people. He makes me laugh harder because he gives not a single damn in this world. And he's just one of the best people I've been around. He's most authentic and genuine folks I've ever been around. And I just love the fact that you've incorporated what made you into you growing now. And that's so cool. One of my favorite pictures, or one of my favorite things I've seen y'all do, is I think it was the first time you played an amphitheater with Zach Brown. And to see Benji's face on stage in some of those pictures and know, like, some of the shit he has been through from us talking and some places he's been, and it's like, that's cool. Oh, God, it warms my little fat ass heart just even thinking about it.
That's some of the stuff that, like, gets me is, you know, like, ultimately, like, I'm getting different opportunities, you know, like, to do this or to do that. I mean, that's like, and Zach Brown has been one of the biggest helps to me through the whole process. He's offered advice, on the record, off the record, all the advice he can offer. He's poured it in, but he's also extended that opportunity of playing shows, and it's so special just to get to be around him because he has so much experience, and he is a small town Georgia guy just like the rest of us, and he's reached levels beyond my imagination.
Yeah.
You know, but he took us, we played our first amphitheater with him, and then, like, New Year's Eve, we're going to be in Atlanta at State Farm Arena.
So cool.
That'll be my first time ever singing in an arena.
Oof.
And it's like, it's one of those things where, like, it's so special to me, but then when we walk out there and the crowd just lights up, and then I get to look around and I see Benji right there.
Yeah.
Like, just to see the look on his face, is special, because it's like, it's one of those things, it's like, no, what we're doing's right.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's working. And then you look to the left and you got Josh and Don, and you look back at the drummer Gabe, and you look back and he's sitting there and he's like, he's got the big eyes, and, you know, like, all of that stuff, like, that's what excites me, is getting to see them, because, you know, when they started playing music, that's their dream. Like, their dream is to make a get to the next stage, get to the next stage. And so each time we do that, play for a sold-out crowd. Last weekend, we walked out, we were looking around, and it was like, we're here. Like, this is a sold-out crowd, like, in our hometown of all places. Like, that makes it even special, because you look out in the front. I mean, we could probably see the first 10, 15 rows, you know, with the lights and all. And you start seeing faces that you know. And it's like, this is cool. Like, I get to experience this, but so do they. Like, if this thing blows up and takes off, then everyone can think back to, oh, you remember that time we played the sold-out show in Douglas? Or you remember the first time we played that amphitheater in New York with Zach? And it's like, you look around and it's like, we got to experience that, not just us together, but us with the crowd and the people that are traveling and watching us play. And it's just special to see, like, all of it come together, But getting to look around and share it with friends. I mean, because that's, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Well, I know me and you have talked about this before, probably when there's been a little bit too much liquor flowing. But success to, I think, both of us, and our, not even just both of us, but our friend group. Me, you, Cole, Riley, just all of us. And you're Riley, too, not just Riley Anderson. But success ain't success unless your friends are succeeding with you. And that's what's been really cool about this year is you blowing up. Cole's on his way. Cole's blowing up. Riley's having some really great stuff happen to him right now. The show being what it is and taking off, and then the stuff that we've got at the beginning of next year. Like, our, and Court Taylor's got some great stuff going on right now, too. I don't want to leave her out. It's just like all of us have been busting our ass and working together, and it's not that any of us are competing with each other. We're all helping each other, and it's just a great group. It kind of, and I'm definitely overselling what I'm about to say right here, but it kind of reminds me of like Luke Combs and Ray Fulcher and like their whole friend group and everything. It's when everybody, you want, somebody told me a long time ago, to succeed, you want to be the least successful person in a room. Because if you're the least successful person in a room, you're learning from absolutely everybody you're around. You don't want to be around a lot of people that have nothing going on. It's just, you're going to fail. And none of us are failing right now. Like, everybody's got something going on. Some of us might not be exactly where we want to be. But like, and I was telling Riley this the other day, Riley's finna have a baby probably in the next couple days. And that just, that's probably
that
the
lights my heart.
It does too. Like, it blows up. It is just my favorite thing. But Riley, if you just saw him at Whiskey Jam the other night, I'll probably cry. I've done cried so many times talking about it. Just like friends and stuff. But if you just saw Whiskey Jam the other night and the way that Ward, the way that crowd reacted to every one of his songs, Court Taylor too, but the way they reacted to Riley, you know that his is coming. Like, it's just him putting himself out there, right? All of us at the same time, which is going to hit, and then we're going to have this group.
And of friends. Of friends. That's the cool part.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
I mean, because at the end of the day, I mean, when you get to work together, you know, like, I was telling somebody about this the other day, and, you know, my parents have always been real big on, you know, surround yourself with the right people and the right things will come about, you know.
It's, absolutely.
And I mean, I'm sure they worded it different than that. Probably like, stay the hell away from this guy. He's no good. But,
yeah,
you know, that was the point they were getting to. And I think one of the biggest things for me is, it's like, even my friends now at home, like, I, because I've been blessed with the position that I'm in, that I can still live at home and travel back and forth. And I do a lot of traveling. But that's the sacrifice it takes for me to be able to live at home.
You have to, yeah.
And so, like, even my friends at home, the guys that I hang around now, like, they're not musicians. They're not singers. They're not performers. But they get up every day and bust their ass to make a living and provide a better future for them and their families. And it's those type of people that I want to surround myself with, even at home, outside of the music world completely, because as long as you're around those guys, you may hang out on a Tuesday afternoon and have a drink and have a good time. But at the end of the night, everybody's on the same page that Wednesday morning rolls around,
it's time to
everybody's
get
getting up and going to work.
Yep.
And like, I feel that helping me more than surrounding myself with any musician, because especially in the music world, and you know how it is, especially in Nashville, there's nothing else to do there but go out, and they call it networking at the bars.
Yeah.
And you do a lot of networking. You meet people, you meet great people. I mean, I'm jealous of you guys. Y'all been hanging out with John Daly and all the things.
Been so cool.
And but like, and that's awesome. But as a musician trying to get everything mapped out and rolling, you find yourself in the bars 5 nights a week, and you don't accomplish anything. And then it pushes you back 4 or 5 hours the next morning.
Yep.
And so, like, me being at home hanging out with these, the quality friends that I have, you know that okay, we can have a good time on a Monday or Tuesday night, just like you would in Nashville.
Yeah.
But when Wednesday rolls around, you're up early that morning, you're getting your stuff done, and you're going to work. Yeah. And so that's what's helped me a lot, is just keeping – and, I mean, it's just all the things that my parents instilled in me is, you know, find the right people to be around.
Well, you're starting to see why I think it's beneficial for folks like me and you to only go up there 1 week out every month, right? You can get so caught up into going out when you're up there that you forget to work. I am so bad about it. I am so horrible that I get up there and I'll get to the networking shit, right? Like, I'll get to those late Red Door nights where I'm hanging out with people that I just look up to, that I just think the most of. And it's like, I'm having a great time with you. But then I forget, damn, I got a show tomorrow with an up-and-coming artist or a social media personality, and I'm probably going to spend too much time getting drinks with this person, and I'm going to feel like shit tomorrow when I do a show with this person. I'm not going to be 100%. I'm not going to do my best. Like, I get real complacent with that real quick. But when I'm here, I don't do that. So, like, last night I had to work and do stuff on social media, but I knew you were coming, so I went ahead and set up everything, had everything ready to go. I was in bed at a good time, and, like, I was ready to go. But if this would have been Nashville,
Had all been threw together last minute because we'd have stayed out too late last night.
Yeah, and then we would have been shit on this show.
You know, and I blame that a lot on, like, our area just being deprived of good music. Because here, like, if you hear of good music coming to town, you'll sacrifice the next morning to go hang out tonight and listen to good music and hang out with the right people. But in Nashville, what people don't understand is good music is there 7 nights a week.
24 hours a day.
If you'll look at the schedules, you'll find somebody to go listen to at every time slot, every night in Nashville.
Yeah.
That you've heard before, that you, like, two guys that, I think you've heard of them, may have met them a time or two, but like the Reeves brothers.
I love the Reeves. They've been on the show.
The Reeves brothers are two of my favorite
Absolutely.
People to go and just sit down and just listen. Like, I just go sit down, and it's that John Conley just.
Johnny Patrick.
Johnny.
Traditional ass.
Just get in your soul, man.
It's so fucking good.
And so it's so fun to just go sit down and talk and listen to those guys. Just listen to them play. And it's one of those things where it's like, oh, man, I know I got an 8 a.m. in the morning. I got to be writing at 8.
Yeah.
But the Reeves Brothers is, they're downtown tonight.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you think on it, and it's like, if I was at home, those two could come to South Georgia.
I'm going wherever.
And play any bar, venue, anything around that has live music. They're probably two of the best that'll play there.
All year.
All year long.
All year long.
They're two of the, like, and they can sit down with two acoustic guitars. And that stuff captivates me, man.
Me too.
I wrap up in it. I'm just like, I'm there. I'm sitting there, my hands crossed. I'm just sitting there, my eyes just locked. I don't even blink. Like, I love it. But, like, to me, that happens. They play in town 4 nights a week, 5 nights a week. So, I mean, right there, you know, it's like.
You can miss it. You can miss one night and catch them the next.
Having to slowly learn that. Like, I don't go and watch them as much as I was. And Reeves Brothers, if you see this, I still love you. I try to make it every time I can. But, like, those guys, truthfully, just, like, those are just, they're like my arch nemesis to an 8 a.m., right? Because I'm telling you, I'm sitting there and I think on it, I'm like, oh, good Lord, they'll play this song and they'll play that song and they'll play this one and they'll play that. And I'm sitting there and I just slowly just talk myself into it, and here we go. We're in an Uber on the way to wherever they're playing at.
I will have to send it to you when we get done. So one of my rounds last year, or maybe it was before me and you started hanging out. Might have been before me and you started hanging out. The last round, one of our Nashville shows, was them two and Allie Colleen.
I was there.
Okay. Whoa. Like, I already love Allie Colleen. Shout out to Allie, who just got, I think she just got done or is about to wrap up with Jelly Roll, like opening up for Jelly Roll. But let me tell you, the Reeves Brothers that night, oh my God, was so good. We turned them loose. then just told them to, and Allie just to play as long as you wanted. And it's one of the best rounds I've ever put on. Like, it was the best shit.
It's there. I remember that night, and I was off to the side, you know, where everybody puts the gear and stuff. And I heard them start singing, but over there I couldn't hear. In the old bar, in that corner, like
you can't
hear hardly anything. And I remember hearing them, and I was like, I can't tell what they're saying, but sonically it just felt good. Like, I was just like, that sounds so good. And then I caught them, me and Benji actually caught them at Chief's on Broadway.
Yep.
And
that's where they're at
four, either five nights a week. And we were sitting there, and I was just like, this is amazing. And I was like, the Reeves, I was like, I've heard of them somewhere. And I went back and looked, and that's when I figured out, I was like, that's who, because, you know, they were, at the time, I haven't seen them in it, and they still may wear them, but they wore the big hats.
Oh, they still do.
And so they had on the big hats the night they were there with you, but they didn't with us. And so I was like, I went back and looked, and I was like, that's the guys in the big hats with Allie in that last round that night. And so I put it all together. I was like, I couldn't hear them the first night I actually heard them. But then now they're just like, they're two of my favorites.
Yeah, they're nasty. They're two of the guys, which we know. I hate to just focus on them because there's so many. But they're two of the ones that, like you said, I'll about stop what I'm doing. If they were here,
I'd be late to work the next morning. I'm telling you.
But that's just, I'm glad that you know that, though, because there's a lot of kids, and I don't know what kind of advice you give, because we got some mutual buddies that I've been taking up to Nashville now, like Cade and Ryan. They've come out here and played the last couple of shows for us, and Ben Bates. I love Ben Bates so much, that big stupid bastard. But a lot of them ask me, like, hey, should we move to Nashville? Should we move? And I tell everyone of them no. I say, look, I get why. You want to. I completely do. But until you have a lot more going for you, stay down here. Figure out who you are as an artist. Write songs about where you're from and grow down here. Don't move up there. You don't need, like, I get why people think they do, because there is more. Iron sharpens iron. There's more people to work with. There is. But there's a whole lot of people that ain't making it up there.
Well, that's what I was fixing to say. You know, there's a lot of people who stay in their hometowns and never make it.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of people who move to Nashville and get lost in the mix.
Oof.
Because, like I just said, seven nights a week at every time slot, there is a amazing musician playing in Nashville every night. And so there's a lot of people who move to town and get lost.
Absolutely.
And I think in the 90s, in the early 2000s, even probably up to 5 or 6 years ago, I think if you don't move to Nashville, you lose a huge opportunity of getting seen.
Yeah, you didn't have social media.
Social media leveled that playing field.
Yeah, it did.
If you will make the quality videos, write the quality songs, put yourself out there on social media now, but that's where people get lost.
Yeah.
When they don't move to town, they forget to work on it at home.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing is, if you move to town, and, like, we both know a couple people, I'm sure you have a couple names that pop up, and I'm not going to say anything about it, but there's people in town who, I'm living in Nashville. And it's like, that's great. What else are you doing? Because if you're just living inside of Nashville and you're not, like, doing some off the wall shit trying to make it, you're falling behind.
It's not even just you're falling behind. You're also digging a hole in debt. You're digging a hole in just depression. You're digging a hole in so many things that you're just not able to get out of. Because a lot of people fail to realize this. You might be the best singer in your hometown, but there's 50 states in this country alone. There's a whole lot of best singers in a whole lot of hometowns, and they're all moving to Nashville all at the same damn time. That's why you can't get in and out of the city.
Big fish in a small pond turns into a small fish in a big pond.
That is why I tell people all the time about my podcast and everything, I'd rather be a big fish in a small pond here than go to Nashville and get drowned out. I love being there, and I love getting recognition when I'm there. But being here, I'm different here. I'm special here. To up there, I still think people see me as half-ass special or whatever, the ones that recognize the level of the show. And people.
But there's so many of it going on that
it's a mute point. Like
That's it.
Yeah. It's like even with you. You're so damn good. It took, and I hate that it took Idol for people to recognize how good you were. Like, on a national scale. Like, it should. I hate that it takes something like that. It should have took one social media post of people hearing you sing and being like, damn, this kid's fucking good. Like, that's what it should have took. But everybody's got to shine. And like, everybody's got, when you get the chance to get the spotlight, you take it. There's not a lot of people that's going to get that moment. Like, Cole, he got whatever video he had that blew up, that went crazy on social media. That was his spotlight. That was his door. The second that Riley has one, Riley's going to go through the roof. The second the court's got one, and some more of our friends.
It's like there's a timer there that you can't see.
Yeah, you can.
But the other thing is, first of all, I'm never going to be the guy that's, oh, I'm this good or that good or whatever. That's just not who I am. But
you let us tell people, baby.
I'll let y'all do the talking. No, I'm kidding. But, like, the other thing is, and, you know, I've had a lot of people say stuff along the lines of it. And a lot of it is just, and I don't want to say ignorance, because it's not ignorance. They just don't know any different. They don't know any, all they know is what they've read on Facebook.
They're oblivious.
So you get a lot of people who are like, well, Idol's bad. If you go on Idol, they own you. They do this, they do that. And it's one of those things where it's like, do they take something? Sure. If you had their platform, you wouldn't offer it up for nothing.
No.
Because their platform works. It's so big. It helps. I would go back and trade what they quote unquote take for what they gave. I'd do it again.
Well,
and that's just the truth of it.
Well, this is the way I look at it. If you go to college, you got to pay for your education.
That's right.
It's give and take. You got a four-year degree in growth and artist development and stage presence and just networking in, what, 6-7 months? A four-year degree. If you got to give up a little bit, you paid for it. Like, you got a degree. You went to college. You went to Idol fucking college.
That's it.
And, dude, what they did for you in that time period, I don't care what people say, it's worth it. Like, at the beginning of it, was I kind of a skeptic? Maybe, because you heard all the bad shit.
That's just all you read. People always want to focus on any. And the other thing is there's people out there who thought it was all free.
Yeah.
And so when it wasn't all just completely, oh, we're going to send you all the way here, we're going to do all of this for you, but we don't expect anything in return. That's how they thought it was.
Yeah.
If they'd have read anything, they'd have knew that it wasn't that way.
Yeah.
But then those people come off of the show and they paint this big negative narrative. And then it's guys like me who went into it knowing, okay, I'm trading this for this. And it's like, that's a big difference.
You know what I also think it is, though, in all fairness? Like, and I don't know. I'm not singling anybody out, because I don't know anybody to single out, right?
Yeah.
I also think that it's the people who don't receive success after the show that are probably the ones that are fussing about it.
More than likely.
Because, like, with you, the second you got off the show, it wasn't, like, everyone knew. It wasn't even about you winning. When you got to a point, everybody knew. Like, you made a name for yourself. That was it. Like, you did exactly what you were supposed to do. Didn't matter if you won or not. It was where you got exactly what you needed to out of it. The second you got off, hell, I think within the first week you got off, Zach Brown asked you out, yep. Right? I don't see where other people have took advantage of that, or where other people have wanted to work with folks like that. I could see where people have won or came in top five or whatever that just drifted off, that didn't have any success or whatever. And that's got to suck. I mean, I've got some friends that have done, like, reality TV and other shit before, or had, like, a song that blew up on social media.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com.
And after that, they just faded off. They had nothing come from it. And they thought, oh, damn, I had this little bit of success to start off with. Everything's going to be success from now on. And that's not how it works if you don't grind. But also, if you don't got it. I used to didn't understand what that meant. When people would say, oh, that kid's just got it. You got it. There's a lot of these people. Yeah, you might win a talent competition. You might win whatever, but do you got staying power? Do you got something that people want to work with? Like, and
are you somebody that people want to work with?
Yeah.
I've run into so many people that, like, not anyone in particular, but there's just been different experiences and different encounters.
Can you tell how good we're getting at talking around stuff? Like, I'm not saying anybody in particular. How I said a while ago. I'm not calling out any names because I don't know any in particular.
Well, I'm never going to be the guy to single somebody out because I truthfully hope that they figure it out.
Yeah.
And I hope they have success. Yeah. But there's just people who I feel like I've met that have it. Yeah. They have the it factor. Yeah. They have that thing that everybody's looking for. And then you talk to them. And it's like, well, they may have it, and I hope they make it, but it ain't going to be with me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to associate myself with that.
Yeah.
And it's those type of people that, like, I hate it so much because they have all the talent in the world. They have everything that you look for except
it.
Well, they have it. They have what people want. But they just – you can't stand to work with them. You can't be around them. You can't. You know, you can't spend any time with them, and that's what's sad is, like, you don't realize how close you are to being there, and then at the same time, you're so far away because nobody wants to hang around you long enough to help you make it.
Well, you got
to
get out of your own way. You got to realize at some point in time that's like with me. When we first started doing the podcast at Live Oak, we were doing it in a completely different format. We were doing couple hours on stage. Hell, the whole thing was, when we first started, 4 hours on stage. A table set up, us drinking, us talking. We'd have an artist playing one at a time. It just was not the right format. I took advice from people. We fine-tuned it. We changed it a little bit. And I've changed it along the time period to where I figured out what worked was, hey, go up, talk in between for a minute, introduce them, throw out one-liners. Don't sit there and talk for 30 minutes at a time. It doesn't work. You're not going to hold the audience. Let them listen. That's me getting out of my own way so my show is successful.
Yeah.
But that only came because I listened to people that were successful in the industry. And because I listened to them, more artists wanted to work with me. It led to better podcasts. It led to better show. It led to better relationships with artists. Like, if you don't get out of your own way, you're an idiot. And you, like me and you, if I'm doing something wrong, I know you'll come to me and you'll say, hey, dude, try this. I'm not putting you down. But hell, we had this conversation right before we started just about the name of the podcast.
That's it.
Yeah. Like,
and I don't expect you to go and change the name of the podcast at all.
Yeah.
Because this is something that you've invested in and built in so much. But I just know from an outsider's perspective looking in, if you're going on the XYZ, some fancy, catchy name, and then you see the Josh Terry podcast, then it's, oh, well, this is just his hobby.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes off, you know, from someone that don't know you or that don't do the research. But if they look into it, they see the ratings, they see the numbers, all the things, then it's different.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, I mean, if you just showed them the data, they're going to pick it.
Yeah.
But if you show them the name, then it's like, oh, he named the podcast after himself. So then all of a sudden they get, you know, it turns into just a hobby thing. And I mean, that's as simple as, but then again, in the same sense, that's just as simple as you just keeping going. Like you just keep the ball rolling and eventually people automatically know your name when they think of it. So then it's not an issue anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, 100%. Well, see, we started off as the politics, religion, and whiskey anyway, right? But then every artist was like, I don't want to talk about politics, religion. Don't really know a lot about whiskey. And I was like, shit, I'm tired of explaining this to every artist why I named it that way. So now we're just going to drop that because we've already done the brand recognition with the Josh Terry podcast. And then there's the Joe Rogan experience. So I was like, fuck it. Leave it is or whatever. But you saying that earlier made me start thinking about it more to where, like, I'm not going to change the name. I can't. But I've got to come up with a better way of approaching artists with the data and everything. So it's not like you can't get mad. Like, you got to be open to people criticizing, not criticizing, constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a lot of people that won't. A lot of people be like, Will wants me to change my name? Fuck Will. And that's not how you meant it.
No, at all.
So we're like, our group, our circle, our friends, we do that to each other all the time. And it is to do nothing but make everybody better. Yeah.
That's it. And that's what's so special about our group is, you know, there's different levels of success throughout the whole group. I mean, like, man, I am stoked about Cole being with Zach Tom.
Oh, dude.
That makes me so happy. Dude, like, I mean, he's fixing to play the Ryman.
I cried. Like, there was a – I'll show you the text message. So about a month ago, he sent me his EP he hasn't released yet, right? Yep. And I was listening to it on the way to Milledgeville to one of Gracie's softball tournaments. And he was like, don't you share this with fucking nobody. Don't play it on social media. Don't do nothing. And I was like, okay. Because he knows how bad I am about getting drunk. And
get excited.
And share stuff. And I'm like, y'all got to hear my voice. Like, all the time. Mainly because, like, so many artists ask me to do it anyway, so they'll get pre-saves or whatever, like, on y'all stuff or whatever. So, like, I forget. Some people don't want you to do that. It's, like, a couple days before. And Cole was like, don't you share this with nobody. I texted him a second after I listened to the 6 songs. And I was like, you're going to play the Opry, the Ryman, within a year. And within 2 weeks, they announced that he'll be playing it and opening up for Zach. I cried. Like, it was just one of those things that you could see it coming. You could see it coming with you. Like, you can. Like, you, there's something about y'all, something about Riley too, Court, that there's just such a wholesomeness and it's an originalness. Like, you're not going to hear another Will, another Cole, another Riley, another Court. You can hear good music, but you're not going to hear another you.
It's just distinct. And that's something that, like, I'm proud of us for all making it that way. Because especially when you start getting around Nashville, you can fall into such a cookie cutter form of music, you know, and it's something that we're all not fighting. We're not fighting it. We're just staying authentic. I mean, it's all about authenticness, and that's something that, like, that makes it where when you hear Cole or when you hear Riley or you hear Court, I like to think when you hear one of our songs, you automatically, you don't go, oh, is that so and so, or is that
you know
one?
Who it is.
Is that, yeah? It's one of those, like, distinctiveness things, and it's the same thing. And the reason why I love it so much that we're doing it that way is, it's the same way from everybody, from Luke Bryan to Luke Combs to Chris Stapleton. When you hear their voice on a song, you automatically, that's who it is. Like, you can just pick their voice out of a crowd.
Well, I think it even goes deeper than that. I'm starting to realize who wrote songs before I even go look and see who did it.
Even, like, the songwriter
style. Yeah, like, there's a Cody Johnson song that just came out. I think it's called Overdue. And it's a Jake Worthington song. And I had no idea it was. But I heard it. I heard how Cody was singing it. And I just, the melody of it, I said, Jake wrote this song. And I went and looked. 100% wrote that song. And it's just, some people have such a distinct style that It's them. And that's the same way with you guys. Like, you know that when you hear something, it's you. There's no getting away from it. To where I think people do have to fight it. Like you said that y'all don't. But I think a lot of our friends...
Well, I'm not saying we don't have to fight it. There's certain times where we have to fight
it. Well, what I mean by that is...
we're not out there doing it just to go against the system.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're being authentic to yourself. I get that. But it's when I say you have to fight it is... you're not doing the cool thing, but you're making what you're doing cool.
Yeah.
Okay, you get what I'm saying? Like, there's... you're the anti-hero. That's what I like with the shit that I do, a lot of stuff that... I don't sit here, like, even like when we do like our charity stuff or whatever. If I was to go on social media and I was to talk about drama or I was to talk about bullshit or whatever, and I was just to always just put just the dumbest shit out there, that would get so much more views and whatever. But I choose to do stuff my way and do stuff that I think is better. Yeah. And it does get discouraging sometimes. But it's the right thing to do. And I think that's what y'all guys do with your music is like, hey, yeah, if I was to put out something that was a little more poppy sometimes, or I was to put out something that was a little more, you know, I'm not going to say what Cody Johnson's manager said, but I wish I could. Actually, I can. Something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you were to put out something that was gimmicky, that's the word I'm looking for. But you're not going to. Like, you're not. You're going to put out the stuff that you want to put out.
Well, you know, like we've got a couple shows. We got four shows in the Midwest, the second week in December, and so this week we started all of the like pre-show interviews with like local stations, just local interviews.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking yesterday with a lady, and she asked me. She said, "What was my main focus on the show and coming off of the show?" And I said, my main focus was staying 100% authentic, because I had someone tell me one time, if you'll start from the beginning and be authentic, and you'll stay authentic the whole time, if you want to change, if it's an authentic change, then you can change.
Yeah.
You can navigate that as you go. The people who like you for your authentic self will like you. And it may be a slow build authentically. But if you start off as something that's fake, if you start off making music that you don't enjoy making,
then you have to remain doing it.
You have to either keep doing it, or eventually you get so tired of it that you're like, you know what? Screw this. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm going to be me. I'm going to be authentic.
Yeah.
And then you swap back over here to being authentic. You lose this whole following. And you have to completely start over and rebuild. If you will start with this from the beginning and just stick to it, then the people that are there at the beginning will be there at the end. And the people that pick up halfway through, they're also going to be there at the end.
Well, thank
you. And it may be a slower build. But the coolest part about it is you don't have to wake up every day and hate what you're doing. Absolutely. Because it's authentic.
Well, what's cool to me about you, think about some of the songs you've already put out too. Like, you've already put out Why. Why is a little more rocky. Like, in Why, the rock song?
Yeah.
Okay. And you've put out stuff that's even like more traditional country. Everything. You got one that I absolutely love that you're dropping next week. Everything But Me. And that's Mariachi. I always say that word wrong. Like, you're doing stuff to where you're setting your fan base up for, hey, I'm going to put out what I want to, what I think is good. And if there's a album that comes out with 12 songs on it, it might be 12 different sounds, but they're me.
That's it. And that's the biggest thing with us is, you know, like, again, I won't target anybody in particular, but I was in a very large meeting one time, and they asked what my vision was. And I said, well, here's the thing. I don't have one sound. I'm not going to release 12 songs,
yeah,
and all 12 of them sound like they were played by the same instruments in the same key at the same yeah, day. You know, like, it's not going to be tight in a line. Will they be all close to the same sound, same, you know, feeling? Maybe. But if I have a vision for a song that I've wrote and I say this song needs to be a little bit more rocky, then we're gonna muddy up the guitars and make them a little heavy.
Yeah.
And it's gonna have that feeling. And like Everything But Me and Benji wrote the song. when we wrote it, we were like, you know what this song needs? He was like, somewhere around, not let's listen to a Jimmy Buffett song and copy it. It needs somewhere around that, like Jimmy Buffett, like, you know, like the mariachi horns and the,
and so
when we thought that, that's exactly what we did. We took that, went straight into the studio and ran with it. And that's the sound the song has, but that's what we felt like we wanted it to have. So we did that, but it's never going to, like, the next song we're going to put out ain't going to be just like that. Like, we're not going straight back down, you know, like, it's not all going to be in the same, it's all going to be in the same vein, but it's not going to all be overlaying just
it's you. On top of each other. That's the thing about when you listen to your music, it is you. Like, if you know you, that's why I just love everything. I'm a big fan, obviously, of The Mechanic. Like, that is my favorite song of yours. That song is so good. I tell people all the time when I get just enough alcohol in me to play it for somebody, I'm like, this is Will's first number one. If this isn't a number one, I don't want people to put out music anymore.
We're working that out.
Yeah, I love that song. But if you know you and you send me a song, before I even click on it, I know that there's going to be a piece of that song that I'm like, that's Will. That's a piece of him. And people, I think, even if they don't have the relationship that me and you have, they listen to your music and they know that that's you. Like, it's a little, even the one you're putting out next week, it's just a representation of you.
Yep.
And it's so obvious to where, like, some people, you hear their stuff and they're like, he ain't lived that life. He don't like that. Somebody told him to put that out that way. Like, but with you, it's like, I think he wanted to put it out that way. I think he likes that. I think that was his idea.
And that's like everything but me. I mean, like, I'm sure there's going to be people that will hear it and they're like, oh, that sounds like some 90s Jimmy Buffett music, you know, whatever. And they're not going to be in love with it. But that's okay, because that's the exact idea that we had for the song.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, all I can tell you is hang around till next month. We'll release another one and maybe you'll like it better, you know? But, like, we're just not going to change what – and sometimes that causes us to butt heads.
Yeah.
With each other, with the powers that be, all those things. But it's one of those things where it's like, if it's my vision and I see how to make it happen that way and it comes out and I go, that's it, that's what I wanted, then at that point, if anybody else don't like it, whoever they may be, whether it be the label or the this person or the that person or whoever, but at the end of the day, it's one of those things, my name's attached to it. So for me, I feel obligated to make sure it's authentic.
Yeah. Well, two things. One, I don't like Jimmy Buffett's music, and that is nothing like a Jimmy Buffett song. That is, I love that song.
It also, we also kind of thought about, like, Willie Nelson's, my mind went blank. The song with the horns, Seven Spanish Angels.
Oh.
We also kind of thought about those horns too.
Oh,
like, it
yeah.
was somewhere in the mix
that.
Of those
I
veins.
Get with that. Well, it's just good. Like, I don't care what, like, it's just good. It's just that damn good is what it is. And two, with the point that you just made, I don't think anybody can go against your ideas right now. You haven't missed. They'd be stupid to go against your ideas. They, like, if you come to the table with something, you have such a high batting average. What? Why would somebody, if they told you to change, be like, okay, show me a failure. Show me something that didn't succeed that I've done. You're one of those people that if you've touched a song, it has done something. Now, some of the songs you've put out, and this included me as one of your friends who has a social media platform, we probably could have helped you market it better, but it wasn't the songs. Like, so there should have been probably some better marketing done behind some of your stuff. But the songs, every song you've put out has went 100 or better on iTunes. Every single one of them. Yeah, we've got friends that have been doing this a lot longer than you. They can't say their first five or six songs
every song they've put out have gone top 100. Hell, I think most of yours have gone top 50 or 60. To be real with you, I'd be stalking your shit when they hit iTunes the first couple of days. I'm like a proud big brother every time your shit comes on there. But they, I don't see how a record label or anybody, powers that be, as you say, like, I don't see how anybody could be like, hey, yeah, you need to try it a different way. You obviously know what you're doing and your ideas are working. You haven't done a failure. You haven't done a flop. I don't think you're going to. I think that what's going to happen, in all honesty, I think when you go through that threshold, that number one threshold, I think it's like a Luke Combs type deal. That when Hurricane hit, and he ain't looked back yet, right? I watched that thing. If you haven't seen it, I wish I could remember. It just came out on Hulu. But Luke Bryan's doing a show on Hulu, and it's like Behind the Country or some shit or whatever. It's really good. And they first show he did was with Luke. But Luke put out a bunch of songs that me and you really like that was before Hurricane, like I Know She Ain't Ready and all this other stuff that were bangers. But Hurricane put him over the top, and he ain't looked back yet.
And, you know, that's another thing with, like the songs that are pre-release music or whatever, and you look at the numbers, and a lot of it is marketing. You know, and as someone like me, for instance, before the show, it was tough. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just going out on a limb, and just I knew I needed to release music, and I knew I needed to promote it on social media, but I had no idea exactly what I was doing, you know. And so a lot of it was kind of a free-for-all for me, and a lot of times that's like Luke Combs. I mean, you go back and you look now, and Hurricane hits and he skyrockets, and then in turn people are like, I want to hear more. They go back
that
now
back
all
catalog.
Of a sudden that backlog catalog back there,
and they're like, fuck, this was out already.
It just starts churning, man. And that's what, and you know, like, this is another thing that I laugh about all the time, because I am that friend. I'm the guy, I want to send my friends a song that as soon as they hear it, they fall in love with it, and I want to send it to them before they've ever heard it.
Yep.
I'll go digging for a song that's like, oh, this song's good. This is so good. I bet Josh hadn't heard it yet. Yeah. And I send it to you, hoping that you haven't heard it before. And so, like, as a musician, like, I want to be that guy that someone discovers and they find one of the songs and they're like, hey, look at this. This might be one of my new favorite songs. And they send it to all their buddies, and then they got that one up on their friend group. They got the plus one in the group because they're the ones that sent that song. You know what I mean? Like, but you just have to, and I don't know exactly how you go about being that. I don't think you can, like, shoot to be that.
Yeah.
It's just a byproduct of releasing music. But, like, there's songs that I've released that didn't do as great as I wanted them to. But that don't mean they're bad songs.
They're not.
They just haven't been discovered yet.
Yeah, so, like, I had that moment with you. So, I can't remember when it was. It was at one of your shows. It was, like, at one of your hometown shows. It was after Idol. I can't remember where it was at. But I had never heard the song Coming Down. I just had never heard it. But you played it. And everybody went ape shit there when you played it. And
that was the Monday night show.
Yeah, and I was like, well, how have I never heard this? And everybody here knows every word to this song. You just never played it around me. And I was like, oh, shit. So I know that that's what's going to happen with you. And, like, another one that I don't want to fight anymore. I don't know how that one didn't blow up more than it did. Like, once again, marketing. But it's going to be the same thing what happened to Luke. I just really, really do believe that when your one hits, they're going to have – I'm sitting here looking, like, right now. They're going to go back and see Gone for Good, which that one most people already know anyway. Good Book Bad, Somewhere in the Middle, and Why. Like, everybody's going to be like, oh, shit, he already had these out. When your one hits, whatever – I think it's going to be the Mechanic. Because I think, like, I love the one you got coming out next week. Don't get me wrong. I love that song. When the first time you played it or whatever, for me, I think it was at the beach. Maybe it was before that. Because you had said some slick shit about this one's for a buddy of mine or whatever, being an asshole. But it was funny to me at the time. It's still funny to me. But I think that one's so good. That one's so good. I think a lot of people use that one also too on social media. That's why I was trying to get you to upload it yesterday for the teaser. But when you have one that hits, but I think that's with you, Cole, and Riley.
I think that's the whole friend group. Truthfully,
yeah, I do.
You know, and that's hard to say, and a lot of people will say it and not mean it. But I truly mean that. I think that our friend group is stacked with just absolutely just talented people.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of that is just timing, man. It's like I said earlier, there's a hourglass sitting there, and when that last piece of sand falls out, that's their moment, you know.
Yeah.
And all of them are different, of course, but I mean, I think they're all just slowly working toward that moment.
Yeah. I'm trying to get Riley right now to do something, and I need you to help me. And we're fixing to be done with this, but I need you to get Riley to do something for me.
What you got?
I need you to call him, and I need you to convince him of doing something. And I think and even Bert told him to do this, his wife. I think I know how to make his moment blow up. So if anybody's listening, the reason why I'm putting him on blast right now, because I saw him do something earlier with it. So the song that we all love, the one that's the Almost song, about when they lost their first one, right? And they got their son is going to be born this week or in the next week too, all right? I think that he needs to do a black and white, grainy video, full acoustic, but he needs to tell the story like right before the video, put it on social media. And one, it'll help a lot of people that have been in that situation. I think it'll help, which I think him and Bert have done really good with healing and everything with it too.
Absolutely.
But I think with a song like that, I think it helps families too. But I think that is what I tried to explain to somebody the other day about Riley. I love Rain in Atlanta. I love Good Dog. I love all that stuff. But it's when Riley does those songs, you get to see his heart. And that's why I think we all love him, right? Like we all love Riley for Riley when he's being awkward and he's being weird and he's just being this big-ass teddy bear, because that's who he is.
Yeah.
I want him to do stuff like that to where people see him the way we see him. And I think he will blow up. I think he's like on the fence about doing, not just with Almost. I mean that in a way that I want people to see the more tender side of him.
Dude's got a heart the size of Texas, man.
Dude.
And I'm telling you what, that song, I'll never forget the first time I heard it in the old Live Oak in Nashville. It was the same exact feeling I got when Bobby Pinson sung The Shave.
Yep.
I just sat there and cried, man.
Yeah,
just
can't help
tears,
it.
Just me wanting to think I'm a hard grown ass man, and I sat there and just cried. And like, I'll cry thinking about it.
I will
dude.
Too.
And I'm so happy for him now. But like, I'm with you. I think it only helps not only him, because it'll ultimately help him, but I think it also helps so much with the people who have been through that situation.
Yeah.
And then to see that, you know, now they're in the countdown of having a brand new baby boy.
Ooh.
You know, and just showing that there's hope, you know. I mean there's something about that that's just absolutely special.
You know,
Riley, I love you, dog. Yeah. I love you.
You know, they almost have the same birthday.
Really?
Almost have the same birthday, dude. Ugh. I'll cry. I'm telling you, there's something so beautiful about it. Like, there's something sad, obviously, but there's something about that whole story to me. Like, in Riley, like I said, he is funny to me because you know this better than anybody. Riley does not talk about himself.
No.
He gets to Nashville. He gets in a corner. He gets awkward. He does not brag. He does not do anything. He's one of the best songwriters I've ever been around. Everybody thinks because he doesn't talk that he's got something going on. Like, he's got a deal or he's got something. He's just now getting to where, if you haven't heard him do this yet, before he does a writer's round, before he did Whiskey Jam or whatever, he'll get on stage and he'll be like, Josh says that I'm supposed to get up here now and tell all y'all that I'm a free agent. I ain't got no damn deal.
That's funny.
And it is the funniest shit. Like, but people love that he's doing it. But he's been so humble and he's been so kind. He's been so good that when he comes to town and he just tries to be friends with people like a Bobby Pinson or a Dallas Davidson or anybody, they're like, this guy's so good. He must have something already. He's not asking us to work with
him. Well, I can tell you this, and I mean every word of it. Whoever takes the opportunity for Riley Anderson to walk out on a stage and say, this is at the point where I have to tell you I'm not a free agent anymore. Boy. That's a lucky person. I'm telling you, whatever company gets to work with Riley, that I mean, dude, just
you're gonna be rich.
A1 class act, dude. And the catalog is unbelievable.
This you don't even know the good ones.
Unbelievable.
Do you know who Kofi Anderson is?
I've heard the name.
Okay. So when we were at Whiskey Jam last week, or the week before, whatever, Kofi's over in the corner. Kofi's got a big deal out in Texas or whatever it is. But he's well known. Everybody knows him. But he just loses his mind over Riley. Like, he loses his freaking mind over Reigning in Atlanta and a couple other ones. And just is insane. And Riley gets off stage, and Riley, you know, he's all humble and shit and just everything. And dude's like, why are you being like this? You just melted everyone's face. I'm hooking you up with some people right now. You should have been signed a year ago. Like, he's just the best. But you are too. Like, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I say when I say that the friend group is just stacked. Yeah. I mean, you meet Cole, you meet Riley, you meet any of these guys.
Court's punk ass, because she'll text both of us after this. If we don't throw her name out here again, I love you, you dummy. But yeah.
Court knows I love her. But the thing is like, you meet any of the group, and it's one of those things where they're talented, man. And they'll sing a song that you think the potential in that is unbelievable. And then you meet them after they get through. Riley sits down in Live Oak and makes every person in the bar cry singing Almost. And then he walks off and he's like, you want to get some Taco Bell?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. Wait a second. You don't get to do that. Like, no. You don't get to hurt my heart and then just be okay.
And then you got
to
feed me?
Yeah.
You piece of shit.
Think it's just going to be okay after it's over. Like, it's not. But that's just how the whole group works. We're just blessed to be around these type of people.
Well, before we get off here, since we've kissed all of our friends' ass, I do need y'all to do one thing for me real fast because I need some clickbait. I need you to tell y'all's little love story real fast, since we have not acknowledged Miss Riley over here, your old lady. Yeah. Real quick, if you don't mind, because I think it's the most adorable damn thing ever.
I don't think anybody's heard the story, so I don't think we've ever told the story. So me and
y'all have told it enough to where I hate the two of you, and I cry, or I don't cry. I think it's so sweet. And one of the things that I think so sweet about it, by the way, before y'all tell it, the reason I want you to, is you always hear, not our friends, because our friends are very supportive, obviously. That's one thing we're talking about. But you always hear how there are couples that are not supportive of each other, and it makes it so hard on people in this industry. And I love the fact that I never hear y'all fuss. I'm sure every couple fusses. I just don't hear it. But we don't ever bitch about you. Like, and you, I've never heard you, seen you at a bar or a concert get mad at him or anything like that. And I just love how supportive you are of him. And I've even seen, like, you were recently on stage in Charleston and sung a song with him. It reminded me of the Stapletons. It was adorable. But, like, I just love seeing that supportive stuff, and I just wish there was more of that.
Yeah, I mean, from the first night that I ever played on a stage, she was there. So that makes it that much more special. The cool part of our story is we grew up living probably 5-6 miles from each other. And we rode the same school bus. And she got on the bus before I did. So every morning she would make her sister sit with her until they got to my house. Then she'd make her sister go find another seat. So there was always an open seat beside her. At first, I didn't realize that. I just sat there. And then I realized what was going on. I was like, oh, yeah, here we go. So we probably rocked on that little game a couple years. I mean, like, we're talking kindergarten-age kids. Like, we're little kids. somewhere around like 7 or 8 years old, I took 50 Cent and spun a ring out of a gumball machine. And I took it on the school bus the next morning and I give it to her and I was like, I'm going to marry you one day. Well, little did I know, life happened. A lot of rough life. And we got back together 4 years and almost a month, something like that. November 1st was 4 years. And so we got back together. I had moved to Tennessee for a few years, moved back to Statesboro, all the things. We kind of reconnected there, and we got together. And we'd been dating a few months, probably 2 or 3 months. And I go to pick her up for a date. And we get there, and she's like, hold on, I got to go back inside. I got something I want to show you. She went inside and brought the 50 Cent ring out of her house. She had kept up with it all of those years. I mean, I was 20 at the time. So that would have been 13, 14 years. She kept up with a 50 Cent ring out of a gumball machine. That's one of the coolest experiences of my life, was getting to see that. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, I know what that is. I know where that come from. I know everything about it. I still remember the gumball machine at Village Pizza I got it out of. I mean, like, it's just one of the coolest things to me. And for her to, you know, be along for the ride and support me and what I have going on, and me get to do the same in her dream, you know, her going through school and becoming a teacher and having her first classroom this year, man, it's been special. It's been a lot of fun.
I hate you too so much. No, that is, I just love y'all. Y'all are precious. And, you know, it is a special thing when you get to see good people get what they deserve. There's a lot of people I don't like that are succeeding, and it is hard to root for some people sometimes. But one thing, it is not hard to root for y'all. And I couldn't be prouder. I love both of y'all. And I just know, like, the sky ain't the limit. The damn stars are, you know? Like, you going to get everything. And it's going to be cool to be side stage watching. And, I'm just excited. I told you a long time ago, I'm riding them coattails, baby. Like, I ain't one of those that ain't going to say he ain't. But it's like I said, all of us really do believe succeeding together is success.
That's it.
Yeah, and it's just the coolest shit to watch all the people I consider my family all doing something together.
That's right. And, you know, that's like with us, like to say that either one of us hadn't screwed up at some point, that's a lie. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's the same with her as it is with my friends. Like, there's just those people that if there's going to be success happen, there's people that you want to be around.
Yeah.
And I mean, you just can't help but choose the people that we have around us, you know?
Yeah. And I think for us, we chose the right ones.
I think so. I think we did a good job.
Or at least life chose the right ones for us.
We didn't even expect – I know for me, I never expected to see anything that I see now.
No.
And I don't expect anything in the future. But from the progress that we've made to this point, the people that we have around us have been nothing but loving and supporting and caring on us. And, you know, that's all you can ask for in the people you surround yourself with.
Well, you couldn't have said it no better, Bubba. Well, anyway. Well, y'all be careful getting back. And make sure you tell them what song you got coming out real fast next week and tell them to pre-save it and all
December
that good shit.
December the 6th, Everything But Me will be released everywhere. You can pre-save it now, and make sure you're listening at midnight on December the 5th, because that's when it actually comes out.
Yeah. And I'll be playing the shit out of it and dedicating it to my ex a whole hell of a lot the next couple weeks, so you'll hear it a lot from me, because she wanted everything but me.
Well, whatever it takes to cope with it, Josh. Whatever it takes.
Hey, I can laugh about it now. Anyway, thank y'all for listening to the Josh Terry Podcast. I love y'all. We will see y'all next time.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Nike Factory Store. Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. One in five people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.